Chapter 27. During the summer of that year, 1939, I was so busy with engagements, occasional meetings with the general, dance performances, and the like, that in the morning, when I tried to get up from my futon, I often felt like a bucket filled with nails. Usually, by mid-afternoon, I managed to forget my fatigue, but I often wondered how much I was earning through all my efforts. I never really expected to find out, however, so I was quite taken aback when Mother called me into her room one afternoon and told me I'd earned more in the past 6 months than both Hatsumomo and Pumpkin combined. "Which means," she said, "that it's time for you to exchange rooms with them." I wasn't as pleased to hear this as you might imagine. Hatsumomo and I had managed to live side by side these past few years by keeping away from each other, but I regarded her as a sleeping tiger, not a defeated one. Hatsumomo certainly wasn't going to think of Mother's plan as exchanging rooms. She was going to feel that her room had been taken away from her. When I saw Mameha that evening, I told her what Mother had said to me and mentioned my fears that the fire inside Hatsumomo might flare up again. "Oh, well, that's fine," said Mameha. "That woman won't be beaten once and for all until we see blood, and we haven't seen it yet. Let's give her a bit of a chance and see what sort of mess she makes for herself this time." Early the next morning, Auntie came upstairs in the okia to lay down the rules for moving our belongings. She began by taking me into Hatsumomo's room and announcing that a certain corner now belonged to me. I could put anything I wanted there, and no one else could touch it. Then she brought Hatsumomo and Pumpkin into my smaller room and set up a similar space for the two of them. After we'd swapped all our belongings, the move would be complete. I set to work that very afternoon carrying my things through the hall. I wish I could say I'd accumulated a collection of beautiful objects, as Mameha probably had by my age, but the mood of the nation had changed greatly. Cosmetics and permanence had recently been banned as luxuries by the military government, though of course those of us in Gion, as playthings of the men in power, still did more or less as we pleased. Lavish gifts, however, were almost unheard of, so I'd accumulated nothing more over the years than a few scrolls, inkstones, and bowls, as well as a collection of stereoscopic photos of famous views, with a lovely viewer made of sterling silver, which the kabuki actor Anoue Yoiguro XVII had given me. In any case, I carried these things across the hall, along with my makeup, undergarments, books, and magazines, and piled them in the corner of the room. But as late as the following evening, Hatsumomo and Pumpkin still hadn't begun moving their things out. On the way back from my lessons at noon on the third day, I made up my mind that if Hatsumomo's bottles and ointments were still crowded together on the makeup stand, I would go ask Auntie to help me.